Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On last week's episode of Eyes on Success, we began a conversation with Jim Fruchterman about how he got into some of his early OCR work in Arkenstone, and then also how Bookshare started. This week, we'll be talking more extensively about how Bookshare has impacted people around the world and some more of the global initiatives undertaken by Benetech.
But first for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Jim Fruchterman.
I think my tip is to continue to advocate for accessibility. I think that blind consumers, visually impaired consumers, their experience is the source of authenticity for all of the advocacy in our field. And unless the pressure is being put on government agencies and employers and companies that have websites, if they don't hear anyone say, this didn't work for me, I can't use it, then our advocacy that they should make it accessible doesn't go very far. So as a geek who's working very hard on making accessibility possible, we need that steady pressure from advocates saying, this should work for me, please fix it. And then toolmakers like us can help people understand it's not that hard and here's how you do it. And, you know, here's a tool that helps make it happen. My main tip is keep crusading for accessibility because that's really what we need to make progress.
That is a perfect tip.
And that's so important for people to do. We have many aphorisms we live by, and one of them, briefly put, is ask not, get not.
Yeah.
You know, no one's going to offer it to you if you haven't told them that it would be helpful.
I know it's often not fun being the nail that's sticking up and the person who's complaining. But I think, you know, a lot of advocates have had a constructive, you know, impact on this is, you know, I know you probably didn't realize this, but I would love to buy your product, but I can't because your website doesn't allow me to. It's something that strikes at the heart of, I think, most technical people. The idea that they would accidentally lock people out is not something they were planning on doing. And so continuing to spread the word among especially, you know, people who build products and websites, accessibility is getting to be a bigger and bigger deal, and it's getting easier and easier to do as long as you don't forget about it when you create your product or website.
Well, and I think that's very true. Often these developers aren't aware of the accessibility issues, and if you make them aware, they're often very pleased to try to address them, you know, if it isn't too much work. I mean, you don't want to develop your product from the ground up again.
Right.
But often you can just make some minor modifications to make something accessible, and then everybody wins.
Definitely.
And in next week's episode of Eyes on Success, we'll be talking more extensively about individual advocacy and talking to someone who actually has some experience in advocating for oneself and with groups. So you may want to tune into that episode.
And in other prior shows, we've spoken with several disability rights advocacy attorneys. For those situations where it's necessary to get an attorney involved, and you can listen to those shows and hear about some of the fascinating and important work that those people have done.
And of course, you know where you can find more information about those shows and links to the audio and show notes. Just go to our show notes associated with this show, but we'll talk about that later.
As a continuation of the conversation from last week, we promise we will be repeating the bare minimum of information that we gave last week. And that's basically Jim's introduction of himself, which follows, and his contact information at the end of the show.
Hi, I'm Jim Fruchterman, founder and CEO of Benetech, the nonprofit tech company here in Silicon Valley that develops products for people with disabilities and the human rights movement. I've been doing this now for over 26 years.
And if you go to Wikipedia or to benetech.org, you can get lots more information about Jim. But he's done wonderful, wonderful things in the field of accessibility And as the CEO of Benetech, continues to work on that and a number of other ventures. And we will be talking about some of that later in this show.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the expanded impact of Bookshare well beyond providing accessible reading material to print-impaired Americans, as well as some of the other initiatives from Benetech.
What I think is very interesting is in with our talks with Betsy Bowman, who was head of Bookshare at the time on this show, she indicated that, you know, you developed a lot of the standards to make these books accessible and easy to navigate, and some of those standards actually filtered upstream back to the publishers and have been integrated into the new EPUB standards for books for the sighted community.
I would say that credit for that really goes to George Kircher, and we're just part of the, you know, supporting chorus, supporting George, but that was George's vision. And I mentioned George, he's one of the people I talked to at the very beginning of starting Bookshare, gave me that good advice about the name. But what George told me was, basically, he had set up the DAISY format. He was the, you know, founding secretary general, or one of the early, you know, he's certainly been the main guy at the DAISY consortium, which is all the libraries for the blind in the world. He had designed the DAISY format not only to be great for audiobooks, but also be great for texty books like the ones that we were going to do. So essentially, George handed that to us on a platter, and we were able to then become, you know, the one library for the blind that was built on text ebooks rather than audio ebooks. And then George, with our support and many other people in our field, convinced the digital publishing industry to standardize on many of the features that blind people needed in DAISY are now standard in EPUB, which is the main commercial ebook standard.
Yeah, with Pete being blind and me being sighted, we have completely non-overlapping sources of reading material. And this is probably the only situation where he's had better access to the reading material, including all of this navigational stuff, that it took a while for the commercial ebooks to catch up with some of the capabilities that he's had for a while.
Yeah, and often the commercial publishers don't put in all those extra features, right? They tend to go more basic. But because they're in the standards that support that, the general push is to get the publishers to put more and more of that structure information that, you know, blind people really, really would like, but sighted people would appreciate as well. And you know, Betsy Bowman, who's now the new president of Benetech overall, Betsy's sort of big campaign, she calls, if anything's born digital, it should be born accessible. And we're working very hard on the publishers so that they sell the same ebook to sighted people that has all this functionality in there, that it works for blind people, that you don't need to go to a specialized library like Bookshare. So that is actually our dream, is to gradually make the need for Bookshare to go away. It's going to take a long time, but that's definitely the vision. And that's a vision shared by a lot of the activists in our community around, you know, why can't blind people simply use the Kindle or the iPad and have as good access as they would get from a specialized library like Bookshare or Learning Ally or NLS.
Now, he mentioned two very important people in this process. Betsy Bowman, who, when Jim was still president of Benetech, was running the Bookshare organization as part of Benetech, and we interviewed her about Bookshare a couple of times. And the other person he mentioned was George Kircher, who's a real legend in the field of making reading material accessible to people with print disabilities. In fact, it was he who coined that term to describe people who cannot effectively read print because of a visual, physical, perceptual, developmental, cognitive, or learning disability. And he's been working in the field of document access since 1987 and has been the Secretary General of the International DAISY Consortium since 2003. In addition, he is president of the International Digital Publishing Forum, the senior officer of accessible technology at Learning Ally, and a major participant in several other standards committees and working groups. So he's been heavily, heavily involved in making print accessible to everybody.
Now, recently, you've been working with trying to expand accessibility and access to this material around the world for the visually impaired. Can you talk a little bit about that effort and some of the copyright issues?
Yeah, so we had a two-prong approach to going outside the U.S. because, you know, the Arkenstone Reader, Open Book, those were products where, you know, 40 or 50% of our users were outside the U.S. I mean, generally, when you do a new cool technology in English, there are people in 40 countries that want to buy it. Because of the copyright law, Bookshare was linked to the U.S. because this copyright exception that made Bookshare possible ended at the water's edge. And so I would be getting very frustrated calls from people in Canada or the U.K. or South Africa or India saying, why can't we have Bookshare? And whatever explanation I gave didn't make them any happier. So we had a two-prong approach to solving this problem. One, by working with the publishers directly and asking them to send us the digital books, we asked them to also give us international rights. So now out of our 350,000 books, probably 225,000 of them probably have some kind of international rights. And in many countries, I'd say most countries in the world, we now have 180,000 books that are available under a permission scheme where we ask the publisher, please give us the equivalent permission to go globally to the rights that we would have under the copyright amendment in the United States. And so that strategy has been going pretty well. But, you know, as we all know, not all publishers will say yes. And of course, the publishers we can get to tend to be American publishers or Canadian publishers and not publishers in the rest of the world. So we, together with the World Blind Union and a bunch of other activists, started a campaign about 7 years ago to pass a global treaty for the blind and print disabled that would replicate the Chafee copyright amendment that we have in the United States as a global norm and allow for import and export. So that if we scanned a book under our copyright exception here in the U.S., and the U.S. and Canada had both signed the treaty and ratified it, then we would get the sum of each other's collections rather than just the places where we could get permission. So that campaign went quite well. And in 2013, the Treaty of Marrakesh was completed. 80 countries have signed the treaty. I think at least six have ratified it, including India. And so now, for example, you can use Bookshare in India, and just like a person in the U.S. can scan a book and other people in the U.S. can have it under the copyright exception, now someone in India can scan it under the Indian copyright exception, and that book then becomes available inside India. And over the process of this treaty going into effect, eventually those books will become unlocked for people to use cross-border. I think we have to hit 20 countries for it to become international law.
So it sounds like you're very close to getting where you wanted to be.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, the United States is talking about ratifying the treaty this year. The Obama administration has been working on a ratification package and has had conversations with a lot of the activists. So we're expecting to have the possibility of a real campaign to see the Senate ratify the Treaty of Marrakesh. And, you know, it's a very unusual treaty. It's pro-consumer. It's focused on the needs of the blind. And it has direct benefits to people who are visually impaired because, you know, many people who are visually impaired would like to see books that come from other countries or potentially in other languages that they speak. And so we're pretty excited about the possibilities, though it's generally not an easy thing to get a treaty ratified in the United States these days.
You've been referring to your clientele as being visually impaired, and a lot of these services are available to anybody with any kind of print impairment. I assume that your services are as well?
That's correct. I mean, much like Recording for the Blind became Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, we're now to the point where 80% of our users are learning disabled in the United States. But most of our international users are blind or visually impaired. And I think that's just a pretty typical evolution, is not a lot of people in India are talking about dyslexia. Mm-hmm. We are working with groups in India and other developing countries. But in countries like India, you have far more blind people as a percentage of the population than you do in a wealthier country like the United States. And, you know, people who are blind or visually impaired, everyone understands why they need this kind of service. It's a lot less clear that dyslexia exists or that you would benefit from this in a country like India with a, you know, a billion people, but 30 million of them have a visual impairment. And also, to be honest, on the international stage, the blind organizations are far more powerful advocates. Nobody from the dyslexia movement actually was active in getting the Marrakesh Treaty passed. I mean, essentially the visually impaired and blind organizations had to carry the advocacy weight for their dyslexic, you know, peers.
And it's great to see how this initiative that started out aimed primarily at the blind, has actually expanded to a bigger umbrella and include many other types of disabilities. In fact, we had a friend several years ago who, due to some bicycle accident, had trouble reading. His sight was perfect, but he couldn't turn the pages of the book. So he was eligible for many of these reading services like Bookshare. In fact, I set him up with Bookshare to read on his computer because he could hit a computer key, but he couldn't turn pages. And that was a real great thing for him.
And he was thrilled. That was his only avenue of being able to read for the rest of his life. He made great use of Bookshare. We recently did an episode where we talked to the folks at Freedom Scientific who have recently added MathML support to JAWS.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about the ability for a blind person to absorb the equations as well as the graphics in a textbook. Do you have plans for any kind of automated reading of the equations, or do you still rely on human volunteers to read the equations?
So our approach to math accessibility is not as an assistive technology vendor primarily, but as a publisher of accessible media or a republisher, right? So what's happening is many, many publishers of textbooks today create their math in a wonderfully accessible format like MathML. And by the time that the ebook actually gets to the student, they have squeezed out the MathML and thrown it away. This is a process that those of us in the accessibility field are often familiar with, right? We had a great structured text file, and we generated an image PDF, and we handed it to you, and we're wondering why you're unhappy. So we're doing a lot of work around capturing MathML content from the publisher so it doesn't get thrown away, and delivering it to people in MathML format so that if they have a screen reader that can read MathML, that it will read it. We've also, you know, worked with technology that will generate text versions of MathML so that if you don't happen to have the ability to read at MathML, maybe we can render the MathML as a textual version of that. We have a project called MathML in the Cloud, where the idea is that we can store a lot of this stuff so that if you're actually reading something and the accessible version of it is gone, you can just go and pull it out of the cloud and deliver it accessibly. So I think that we're not trying to do the last mile, which is actually reading MathML aloud, because that's what we think the assistive technology folks do, but making sure that more and more MathML is available there to be turned into Braille, to be turned into audio, to be turned into enlargement. We're trying to make sure that that happens as well as it can, as, you know, the nation's leading library for people who are print disabled, at least the leading one online.
I guess as long as there's a standard and the standard is obtainable to everybody, that makes it easier for the screen reader vendors and makers of reading machines and reading devices to be consistent and be able to read those content.
Yeah, and it's a very boring part of the tech field is working on standards, but that's really what makes things go. And so George Kircher has obviously put, I'd say, 20 years into making these standards go. And one of the things that we cooked up together was actually a search standard. You know, if you're searching for educational material on the Pythagorean theorem, if you're deaf, wouldn't it be cool to know that this video has captions? And if you are blind, wouldn't it be handy to know that this has descriptive video or has an alternate text version of this or a tactile graphic? And so we actually worked with Google and the other search engine vendors to add a metadata standard for searching content so that you can actually mark stuff as accessible. And so it's called Accessibility Metadata. Our dream is that when you go to Google and say, you know, please show me something, you can actually pull down a little button that says and show it to me if it's accessible and have it show up in a form that you can actually use.
Oh, that's great. So what do you envision for Bookshare in the future? Are there any directions that you're heading in that, you know, we might see differently in the future?
I think that, you know, there's a bunch of sort of initiatives going forward. One is continuing to get more books, more assistive technology tools so that whatever is in your pocket, in your backpack, on your desktop, that they read Bookshare books. The Born Accessible initiative to try to convince the publishing industry to sell more accessible books so that, you know, eventually the goal would be that a Bookshare would be a library kind of like the way libraries work for sighted people. It's for someone who's not wealthy enough to buy every book they want to read, or someone who wants to look at 10 books for research and not buy them. But, you know, right now, rather than being a secondary source of books for blind and visually impaired people like libraries are, we're a primary source. You know, one of the leading sources, maybe the biggest source. And so we're happy filling that gap, but we eventually would like the need for us to be the primary source to go away and have blind and print disabled people just be able to get the same book everyone else does. So that's another initiative. Still another one is that just as we started pretty much overcoming the problem of access to text, books, especially textbooks, became chock full of images. And, you know, if you get handed a math book or a physics book that has all the text accessible, you've got less than half of the content that you need to learn available to you because all the equations, all the graphs have tons of information that you need to learn. And this is a real barrier for especially blind and visually impaired people for going into science, technology, engineering, and math fields, the STEM fields as they're often called. And so we set up the Diagram Center with the goal of trying to reduce the cost of making an image accessible by a factor of 10. Obviously, during the several years we've been running the Diagram Center in partnership with WGBH of Boston's, their National Center on Accessible Media, NCAM, and DAISY, George Kircher and his team, we also started doing stuff in 3D printing. And we're really excited about the promise of 3D printing. You know, imagine for 50 cents if you can print out a tactile object that's really going to help a blind person understand this. But guess what? It's probably going to help every other kid in that mainstream class understand the double helix or a saddle point or what a heart actually looks like, you know, or feels like. And so we're really excited about that. So we're holding a national conference on 3D printing for educational uses, especially with accessibility. And so that's another project that we're going on. And of course, what we've talked about, you know, we may be serving 350,000 people now, almost all of whom are Americans. How do we actually help 5 or 10 million people around the world that could use this get access to the books they need for education, employment, and social inclusion? So there's plenty of work to be done.
No shortage of new ideas and initiatives.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, that has to make it a lot of fun and very rewarding for you and your team.
As a geek, you know, I love solving problems, and I think that's the team that we've built. You know, Betsy Bowman's also an engineer. And so this is what really makes us happy is, you know, putting on our thinking cap, looking at a set of problems, and trying to figure out, can we come up with a new and better way to solve that problem that's maybe 10 times better than the way it's been before? And that's often the lens that we're looking for. And certainly the reason I'm still at Benetech is I decided this was a lot more fun than doing tech for profit reasons.
Now, we promised to talk about some of the other initiatives at Benetech, and because our focus was on all of the reading accessibility issues when we talked with him, we didn't get his voice describing some of these other initiatives. But what we've been focusing on so far are the various pieces of the Global Literacy Program at Benetech, but they also have very active programs in human rights, in which software services and training are provided to keep human rights defenders safe. And this has become critically important in larger efforts to pursue reform, seek justice, and begin the process of reconciliation. And they have another initiative in environmental work where the software that they develop at Benetech gives ecologists and conservationists the tools they need to plan and manage their efforts to protect natural resources around the globe. And then they have an experimental wing at Benetech Labs, which was established as a way to explore and test the feasibility of many of the ideas that the folks at Benetech encounter in their daily work and to identify which of the possible solutions might successfully meet a pressing social need. And I got all of that right off benetech.org. If you want more information, you can delve more deeply into any of those.
So there's a lot going on at Benetech besides Bookshare, which is the division which most of us being blind might be familiar with. You might want to check it out. Did you know any blind people growing up?
Nope.
You just got into this because you want to do something good for the community.
People find this really ironic because, remember, you know, my peers were people like Ted Hunter and Dean Blasey, people who could tell you a direct story, you know, Ted being blinded in an accident, Dean being mentored by a very famous blind scientist. So they had stories where they had a personal connection to blindness. I just was being taught how to make smart bombs, and I kind of decided, Well, I don't know a lot about blind people. I have never met one, but I think they could probably use this. And then finally, I was able to spend 7 years helping create the technology and then actually taking it to blind people. You know, that was more than a decade later from when I first thought about this application, but eventually I was able to do it. But people are surprised when they say, what's your personal connection? I know a lot of blind people now, but I didn't when I got started.
Well, it has to be great to see that dream come to fruition.
Yeah. You know, in Silicon Valley, you're taught to go talk to your customers about what they need. And I went to the blind community and said, I'm thinking of building this product. Would you like it? You know, I said I was going to have an army of scientists and engineers volunteering to train them on this. And they said, no, there are all these blind people who could be selling and servicing these products. You don't need a bunch of volunteers. You should hire us. And the product features, I wrote an initial UI for our product. Noel Runyon wrote a much easier one, and we ended up licensing it from him because as a blind programmer, I think he had a better idea of what blind people wanted. So it's just being open to that idea of how to do things and engaging our customers in the co-creation of the projects. I mean, that's what Arkenstone, Atlas Speak, Strider, Bookshare, Diagram, that's all of what that's about. And it just, it's amazing that it works better when you do it that way.
Now for this week's final item, how you can learn more about Benetech and Bookshare and Benetech's other programs. And one of the first places you can go is last week's episode of Eyes on Success when we talked about how this all got developed and what Bookshare is basically all about.
So if people want to find out more about Benetech, Bookshare, or some of your other initiatives, where would they go?
To find out more about Benetech and Bookshare and the Diagram Center, just type those domains into your search engine or search Google. There's a ton of accessible information for you to explore.
And do you want to give out your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at Jim Fruchterman, all one word. J-I-M, F like Frank, R-U-C-H-T-E-R. M-A-N.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. This is great.
Thanks a lot, Pete. Thanks, Nancy.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And of course, the easy way to find a lot of this information is in our show notes associated with this show at www.eyesonsuccess.net. We have links to all of that information, all of the websites discussed in the show, and we'll even have links to interviews we've done in the past with Ted Henter and Dean Blasey, Betsy Bowman, and so you can listen to all that if you'd like.
That's it for show number 1518. As we mentioned when we were giving the tip of the week, next week on Eyes on Success, we will be devoting an entire episode to informal advocacy. We will be speaking with Kelly Pierce, who has a long track record of successfully advocating for himself and for groups of people with similar issues to his. He's worked with taxi companies and movie theaters and lots of different venues to make things more accessible for people like himself with visual impairments. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.